I want to share with you just briefly this morning. They told me the theme was lighthouses, so since it's lighthouses, I'm gonna preach on the survivor spirit. That's a joke, folks. It's okay for you to laugh, and it's okay for you to say amen. just finished up a series last Sunday at my church. And I've been there 14 years, and every week's a challenge when you've been somewhere 14 years to come up with something different. But I preached a series, I called it Lionhearted, and we looked at a lot of different, I guess you'd call it spirits that Christians need to have. We looked at Daniel in the Den of Lions, talked about the excellent spirit, looked at David, not when he faced Goliath, but when he killed the bear and he killed the lion. We talked about the warrior spirit. And then we looked at Benaiah, who went into the pit on a snowy day and killed the lion. Talked about the courageous spirit this morning. And then finally we looked at the Apostle Paul, an incident in his life, and talked about the survivor spirit. And that's what I want to deal with briefly this morning, is the survivor spirit. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 9, very familiar scripture. Most of you probably could quote this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. Are you there? He said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the book, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning, God, for the opportunity one more time to preach your word, to share the truth, God, because the truth will transform. I pray, God, that your spirit would take the message, take it where it needs to go in every heart and every life. God, give it meaning, Lord, to the challenges that they're facing in their lives today, God. Help us all to grow and to mature from this, Father. God, help me to heal and not hurt, and God, to encourage and not discourage. And Father, I give you the praise for asking it in Jesus' name. Amen. The survivor spirit. By definition, a survivor is a person who continues to function or prosper in spite of opposition and hardship or setbacks. The things that the Apostle Paul went through in order to preach the gospel of Christ, I believe certainly qualify him as a survivor. If you go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 28, he lists some of those things. Let me share them with you. He said, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." In our text in 2 Timothy, he says, he was abandoned by his fellow Christians, and he was mistreated by Alexander the coppersmith. Now, these things alone, to me, when I look at them, these things alone seem too much for one person to bear. But the list of his physical pain that he was subjected to for the cause of Christ Paul adds the daily pressure and anxiety that was on him for all the churches that he was over. This man actually suffered all these things that I shared with you and more, and yet he survived. He not only survived, but he thrived. He remained true to his calling, walking it out, living it out, taking it to a victorious conclusion. You see, the key to his survival, the thing that kept him going, the thing that kept him from giving up, was not the degree of his personal sacrifice for his faith, but what kept him going was the depth of his love for Christ. Paul was a survivor in every sense of the word, and his life is an excellent example to others who desire to be survivors. This story shows us some things about survivors, and I want to share them with you this morning. The first thing is this: the person with a survivor spirit knows how to handle harmful people. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. He said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil or harm. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom you need to beware, for he hath greatly withstood our words." What he's saying there is that you got to know how to handle harmful people. There will be people. I know that I don't have to tell you this for you to know it. There will be people that you encounter in life that will intentionally do you harm. That was Paul's experience with Alexander the coppersmith. You see, he not only opposed the message of Paul, but that Paul preached, but he set out to do him personal harm. But the survivor spirit in Paul led him to release Alexander to God. You say, how do you know that? Well, notice what he said. He said, he did me much evil. He said, but the Lord reward him. In other words, he turned him over to God. He released him. You see, the problem with folks today is they don't know how to let go of things. They want to hang on to them. They will hang on to the hurt. They will hang on to the wound. They will hang on to the axe they have to grind against someone instead of doing what Paul did and simply put it in the hands of God. Paul said, I'm a survivor. I can't stop here. I can't let him hinder me. I've got to preach the gospel. So what I'm going to do is put him in God's hands, let him take care of him. I'm not going to think about it anymore, and I'm going to move forward in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a survivor spirit. You got to learn to let go. Man, people want to hang on today, though, don't they? Somehow or another, they think, well, if I let go of this, they'll think they got away with it. If I let go of this, then somehow or another, I won't get the justice that I deserve. You see, God didn't put us here and then call us, you know, to get justice. God called us to give Jesus. He didn't call us to get justice. He called us to give Jesus to a lost and dying world. And I'm telling you that the Alexander coppersmiths of this world will stand in your way and try to silence the message that will break through to some heart that desperately needs it today, that needs to be set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I'm going to just go with my survivor spirit. Not only will there be people that will purposely hurt you, but some will wound you by walking away. Paul was exposed to this when he was deserted by Demas. Did you notice that? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, you know, this must have hurt Paul deeply. Think about it. He poured himself into the life of Demas. He had mentored Demas. And then Demas repaid him with desertion. Paul could have allowed this experience to restrict the extent that he would minister to others. He could have let this one incident decide the degree of investment he was willing to make in other people. You've been there. I've been there. When people wound you by walking away, you look at it and you go, I'm not going to go that distance with anybody else ever again. I'm never going to sow to that extent in anybody's life, because that's all you get. You give them all and then they desert you. You see, what you can't base ministry on those kind of things, because the bottom line is it's not all about you, it's all about Him. Amen? We forget that sometime. We forget that, you know, it's not about whether we're happy or whether we're pleased or whether our life is going good. It's whether or not we are walking in the will of God and working what the Word of God tells us to do, because somebody needs to see Jesus in your heart and life. That's a survivor spirit. Think about it. Oh, Alexander and Demas could have stopped him in his tracks if he had let them. But instead, Paul said, I'm a survivor. Notice this. Instead of focusing on the one that left him, Paul chose to focus on those who stayed with him. Isn't it amazing how the devil can get one so magnified until it can hinder you, right? As a pastor, I'm sure Brother Kent and Brother Massey can identify with this. As a pastor, man, it tears you up when somebody leaves. You almost can't put into words what it's like, because it's very difficult to not take it personal. You know, I've been in it long enough now to where, you know, I can deal with it a lot better than what I used to when I was younger. Because I've had people, you know, I've been there 14 years. I've had people leave, come back, leave, come back, leave, come back. Took them 3 times, but when they come back the 3rd time, they make good members. Come on. Come on now. Sometimes it takes that for people to realize, hey, what I got here is really good. What I got here, I like. What I got here, these people love me. They care for me. They're concerned about me. They've left 3 times, but when they get back that 3rd time, they realize, hey, I'm where God wants me to be. Come on now. You know, when somebody leave my church, I used to just offend them so bad that they would never come back, because I was mad at them. You know, I did it in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? You know, because it hurt me, and I was aggravated with them. And what changed my mind on that is, you may not know this guy, but Ken does, is Alton Stokes. He's been where he pastors now for 100 years. Seemed like it. Been at least 25. So I called him one day, and I said, tell me, how do you deal with this? He said, when people leave my church, he said, I'm so friendly to them. He said, when I see them, I'm friendly to them, because he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, if you stay somewhere long enough, they may come back. But if you hurt their feelings, they're not going to come back. So I just learned to love on them. Amen? But it still hurts when somebody deserts you. You've all been there. It could have been a husband or a wife. It could have been a best friend. It could have been somebody you thought would never turn their back on you or would never leave you at a key point or a time when you're suffering in your life. But as sure as it happened to you, they walked away from you. That's what Paul is experiencing here. And he rose up with that survivor spirit. And he said, I can get beyond this if I don't focus on the one that left and see who has stayed with me. Think about it. He said, notice who he mentions. He said, I'm going to focus on Titus and Tychicus, who have not fallen back in love with this present world, but have gone into other areas to minister. The survivor spirit in him moved Paul to turn his attention to Timothy and Mark, who were coming to where he was, and Luke, who was already there helping him. Paul could have broke out the sackcloth and ashes and held him one fine perpetual pity party. But he said, hey, wait a minute. Demas is one person. I got all these others here that God has put around me and put into my life that love me and that will stay with me and that care for me. I'm going to focus on them. That's a survivor spirit. You got to be able to see the hand of God working in the people that He surrounded you with that will never leave you. Are you with me this morning? You getting anything from this? I have to preach a lot slower now than I used to when I was younger. Let's be honest. It hurts when people desert you. Sometimes the hurt's so deep to you want to quit. But who you are in Christ, what He has called you to do and what He desires you to be is far too important to allow destroyers and deserters to prevent you from going forward in your faith. People with a survivor spirit know how to handle harmful people. And they're out there. But you're bigger than that. You got more faith than that. You got more of God in you than that. The devil can't stop you because you're a survivor this morning. You will go forth in the name of Jesus Christ and conquer all because the Bible declares you more than a conqueror. You can be more than a conqueror because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We're going to make it today in Jesus' name. My Lord, I got to hurry. Second thing, the person with a survivor spirit is not afraid to stand alone. Do you see what he said at my first answer? No man stood with me. All men forsook me. Everybody left me. Now, in reality, when you are in relationship with Christ and walking out His will for your life, you're never alone. However, there will be times that the devil will try to make you feel that you're backed into a corner all by yourself and there are no exits. Paul was facing one of these times, and he decided that more important than who may stand with him was the stand that he was going to make. Amen? More important than who stands with you is that you make a stand. If you don't make the stand, then you're not going to get anywhere. The survivor spirit in Paul said, I'm going to just keep standing here. I know it looks bad. If you look at it through the carnal eyes and through the natural eye, it looks bad. It looks like I'm a lone ranger here. But I'm just going to stand here because I just believe that God is not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me. He's going to get me through this. I'm telling you, He will do no less for you this morning. You are a survivor. We all need the friendship and support of our fellow believers. And most of the times that's what you get, thank goodness. But when the situation demands it, you need the determination, the tenacity, a deep conviction to stand for what is right, even when no one stands with you. When I was preparing this, I thought about that old song. Some of you may remember it. By Flats and Scruggs, called "I'm on my way to Canaan Land." I'm on my way to Canaan land. You heard it? I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Then he said, if my mother don't go, won't hinder me. If my father don't go, won't hinder me. If my sister don't go, if my brother don't go. What is he saying? He's saying the point is this. Eternal reward in Christ is too wonderful, too glorious for you to allow anyone or anything to prevent you from completing your spiritual journey. It doesn't matter who falls off to the side, who turns and goes back. I just got to keep going forward and make my stand because glory land lies beyond this life. This life is not all there is. Amen? Oh, I want my mother to go. I would want my father to go. I'd want my sister to go. I'd want my brother to go. But after all, I'm on my way to Canaan land. Canaan land is the prize. That's the goal. That's the mark I'm aiming at. That's where I got to get to. And I can't allow anyone or anything to keep me from reaching out and taking hold of the prize. Hallelujah. A person with a survivor spirit is not afraid to stand alone. Now, I really want to get down to this point. And forgive me, but I can't. That's good. I can't even see what time it is here on this iPad. That's good, isn't it? And I don't care what time it says on this watch. Third thing, are you with me? The person with a survivor spirit recognizes their safety zone. Now stay with me on this one. Notice what he said in verse 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, everybody else left him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And then he said to him, be glory forever and ever. And the only thing you can put on the end of that is amen. So Paul is saying, you ever think about it when you read that verse? Paul is saying, I looked to my left. Didn't see anybody standing with me. Looked to my right. Nobody standing with me. I turned around and looked behind me. Nobody standing with me. I looked ahead of me. Nobody standing with me. However, when I looked through the eyes of faith and promise, I saw the Lord was standing with me. I'm going to tell you, you can see him there if you're really looking for him. Because he said in his word, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. There's a reason that he said that. Because he knew some would leave you. Some would forsake you. You would feel lonely and alone. And that you would need to know that he's got your back today. Do you believe it? Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. When he couldn't feel the reassuring touch of a fellow believer on his shoulder, he felt the awesome touch of the strength of God in his heart, in his mind, and in his spirit. Man, that's better than a human touch. Amen? Unlike man, God will stay with you through the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads, through the thick and through the thin. Paul recognized that the Lord was his safety zone. He's going to be with me. That's why, as long as I stand where God is standing, I'm in a safety zone. Does that clarify it there? As long as I'm standing where God's standing, that's a safety zone. I'm a covenant person. I don't have time to develop that, but I'm a covenant person. Did you know that God has always provided a safety zone for his people? Even as far back as Adam and Eve, their safety zone was not the Garden of Eden. Their safety and strength was in obeying God's word and doing his will. As long as they did that, nothing could touch them. As long as they did that, they were safe. The moment they stepped outside of that and began to consider the fruit apart from the word and the will of God, that's when their strength began to wane. You got to know what your strength zone, your zone of strength is. Let me give you a little illustration. Let me illustrate this. Give you an example of safety zones. From my poodle and my squirrels. They must be my squirrels because I got a lot of them in my pine trees the back of my house. We live out in the country. And blessed with a lot of, you know, pine trees that make all that good, wonderful, green-looking pollen. It's just a joy. And we have this poodle. Ken's met him. His name is T-Bone. He's a miniature poodle, black, very smart, very intelligent. You know, I think this because he may be the most intelligent dog on the planet. I don't know, but. And every morning when I let him out for him to go, you know, take a stroll, he'll run out the door and run out on the back deck, and he'll run to that first step and he'll stop. And he'll go. What he's looking for are the squirrels. Now, right dead center off the step is a big pine tree. And apparently my squirrels are dumb. That squirrel will be up in that tree. He's in a safe zone. I haven't seen T-Bone. He's smart, but I ain't seen him climb that tree yet. And somehow or another, I don't think he is going to. But the squirrel will start down the tree, and T-Bone, he's down there. And then it's this thing of hide and seek. The squirrel will go around this side of the tree, and T-Bone will follow him. The squirrel is in a safe zone. You see that? What does this squirrel do? For some reason, all of a sudden, he jumps out of that tree and hits the ground so hard you can hear his belly hit the ground. And then the race is on. T-Bone almost getting him. And he'll run down through the yard and into the woods. And I guess he's going home. I don't know. But he's already in a safe zone. The problem with some of us is we keep jumping out of the tree, knowing that as long as we're in the tree, the devil can't touch us. It's a safe zone. Let's stay there. The devil can't get you there. But when you get out of it and you move out of it, the enemy can come in and do what he will with you. It's time that we understand our safety is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He will stand by me even when everybody else leaves. Glory to God. You believe that this morning? Have you been in those times when you were in that valley of the shadow of death, and it seemed like nobody was with you and you felt all alone? All of a sudden you felt the touch of the hand of a living God, and you said, hear him whisper in your ear, it's going to be all right, my child. You can make it. You got a survivor spirit today. Glory to God. Man, man, man. Is this all right? I'm just about finished. I've only got about 40 more minutes. I know she didn't laugh real big on that one. The great example of staying in your safety zone is Jesus Christ. When he was preparing his disciples for his imminent death, he said this in John 16, verses 32 and 33. He said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm alone, he said. In other words, when people look at me from a distance, they go, he's over there all alone. Nobody wants to associate with him. Nobody wants to be with him. Nobody wants to be counted in his camp. But Jesus said, I want you to know, when it looks that way, I want you to know that the Lord is with me. He'll send his angels. God will not forsake me. If you could see this morning, you know, through spiritual eyes, if God would just crack it open and let us see into that spiritual realm this morning, you would see angels and principalities around this church and hovering over you and following you home and at your house when you sleep. Why? Because God said, when you get in that safety zone, I will take care of you. God will give you a survivor spirit. Give him praise in this place. Didn't he tell the devil about Job? He said, you have everything but not his life. I got a hedge around him. I got him in a safety zone. Glory to God. I got to give you the last point. Is that all right? The person with a survivor spirit leaves a strong testimony. If you go back chapter 4 and you go back up to verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8, he says, and you've heard this many, many times at funerals, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a strong testimony to me. Now, when I began working on this sermon, you know, when I developed this series, I remember the advertisement that I saw for a new season of the long-running television program Survivor. The commercial highlighted two men and one woman. Now, I don't watch the program. If you watch it, that's fine. I don't watch reality shows because they're not real, right? One of the men was labeled the brain. One of the men was labeled the brawn, and the woman was, of course, labeled, identified as the beauty. Of course, each one of them saw themselves as possessing the necessary qualities to conquer the others and become the survivor. The program is supposedly a reality show, but it seems obvious that it's scripted, which isn't surprising because, after all, it is television. In the TV program, Survivor, they have the option to stop filming, rearrange, rewrite the parts that they don't like, and edit it until they get the ending they desire. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble this morning, but real life doesn't work that way. Real life isn't lived out in the controlled atmosphere of Hollywood. If you want to see a true survivor, you must get in the real world. If you want to see a true survivor, hear the words of those with the strength of the Lord who battled a dreaded disease or suffered the death of a child and came through it victoriously. If you want to see a true survivor, listen to the testimony of the women who, with God's help, survived a bad relationship where they were physically beaten and mentally abused simply because they were there. If you want a story of a real survivor, examine the example of the person who was sexually abused as a child, whose memory was plagued with flashbacks and images of those events, but through the power of Christ broke free from that bondage. For an example of a real life survivor, find those who grew up feeling like an outsider in their own home, who never, ever received the affirmation that they needed and the love they needed. Just look at that person and see how Christ reached down and pulled them out of that pit of low self-esteem and put them on the rock, Christ Jesus. If you want to see a real survivor, look in the real world. When you look for a true survivor, find the drug addict that went so deep into the lifestyle that they stole from family and friends and sold their own bodies for the money to satisfy the cravings. But when they hit bottom, they asked for God's help, and He reached out to them and pulled them up into a new life in Christ. For a real survivor, let's put it here. For a real survivor, look for those who live holy and righteous every day in the midst of a world that is corrupt and sinful and dark, but they keep themselves unspotted from the world. Those are real survivors. Now, these situations are not scripted. Most are not planned, and they can never be corrected by stopping the camera. To rise above them takes a survivor spirit. You know what I mean. Perhaps there are some of you here this morning that are stuck in one of these paths, and you don't know which road leads out. Maybe there's some of you here this morning that your life took a turn down one of these roads, and you're trying to figure out how to get off of it. How do you get out? Many of you walked in this service today nursing wounds from some horrific, painful experience in life. But you're afraid to seek healing because you don't want others to think that you're weak or that you may not be perfect like them. Can I tell you a secret this morning? There are no perfect people here today. There may be some that'll tell you they are, but there are no perfect people here today. Every person in here has some type of scar from life's trials. Some are on their body. Many are on their mind and their spirit. What's the problem with that? When we think of scars, we think of them as being unattractive. We think of them being something that should be hidden. But for the Christian, a scar is actually a spiritual beauty mark. You ever think about that? That scar is a sign that the infection is gone. The danger is over. A healing has took place. So the next time the devil asks you about your battle scars, you answer him with a now thanks be unto God, which always causeth me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I got some scars, but God will turn them into stars. I'm a survivor.